me to Joshua chapter 4. Joshua 4 will be our study text today. Joshua chapter 4, beginning at verse 1. And it came to pass when all the people were clean, passed over Jordan, that the Lord spake unto Joshua, saying, Take you 12 men out of the people, out of every tribe of man, and command ye them, saying, Take you hence out of the midst of Jordan, out of the place where the priest's feet stood firm, 12 stones, and ye shall carry them over with you, and leave them in the lodging place where you shall lodge this night. This chapter records the miraculous crossing of the Jordan River. It was the second such miracles performed by God in bringing his people across a body of water. The crossing of the Jordan typifies the nature of God's redemptive plan, which I should endeavor to share. In those days, there were no ferries to carry this vast amount of people. There were 600,000 men, plus women and children. How are you going to get them across? We're told that the Jordan River was overflowing its banks at that time. God intensified it so that the miracle would be obvious. Back in Joshua 3:15, we're told, And as they that bear the ark were coming unto Jordan, the feet of the priests that bear the ark were dipped in the brim of the water. And then in parentheses, for Jordan overfloweth all his banks, all the time of harvest. God picked the time of the year where the river would have been at its highest peak to perform this miracle. The narrative emphasized the overflow of the river during the time of harvest. This was no coincidence, of course. It was done to magnify the power of God over the forces of evil. The greater the obstacle you and I encounter in this life, the more you and I would see the hand of God when we submit to Him. Only when we submit to Him. Many of you here today were not around when we first obtained this building that we now occupy, but some are old enough to remember. Those of us who were here should look back at the hand of God who enabled us and kept the doors open by using a group of feeble men and women. We should look back and see that God will honor those who honor Him. And I hope we would not forget that. Now, this event, the crossing of the Jordan, was no freaky coincidence, as the skeptics would say and would have us to believe. One lady told me about the crossing of the Red Sea. The children of Israel walk across because it was low tide. That's as best as she could say. Doesn't believe the Bible, of course. It was low tide. And some say the same thing here. It was low tide that day. But that's not what the Bible said. It was a deliberate act of providence to magnify the power of our God over His creation. Supernatural work was required. However, this natural event in history points to a spiritual reality in the lives of all of God's people who are converted today. For a person to cross from spiritual death to life, the Lord must perform a miraculous work. And this is what our Lord did when He stood by the grave of His friend Lazarus and cried, Lazarus, come forth. Think of it. Ephesians 2 tells us that even when we were dead in trespasses and sins, God quickens us. So never attribute salvation as your work or something you did, brethren. Let's recap in our past message before I get carried away to preaching. On script or without script. Joshua 3. It was a while ago, but we saw Joshua's great step of faith. You remember that? Where Joshua arose early in the morning and removed from Shittim and positioned himself in preparation to enter the land of promise. And I said that many of us come to church and we are not prepared. I made that application. And Joshua's step of faith was rising early to position himself in place. Secondly, we saw objects of guidance. The children of Israel were to follow these objects of guidance. The ark, which represented the presence of the Lord, which represented the power of the Lord. The priests, and the distance that was between them, they were not supposed to come near. The distance provided a pathway for them to follow. And God has given us objects of guidance. He has given us the means of grace that so many of you are neglecting and expect to reach the promised land. But thirdly, we saw enablement to obey the command of God. We are told that the Lord exalted Joshua, but it is really Christ that is exalted. But this time we will look at the success of Joshua's mission, where the children of Israel made a safe passage across the Jordan River. And by the way, secular history records this. Are you going to Wikipedia or any kind of secular history? You can read about this. You don't need the Bible. But what does it mean? And that's what I will tell you today. Sometimes when we think of the word success, we often view success from the world's point of view. The world views success in dollars and cents. But the Bible views success when the Lord's will is accomplished in the lives of people. That's success. God's thoughts are not our thoughts. His ways are not our ways. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. Isaiah 55, 8 and 9. God was preparing his people for the coming of the Savior. He had to bring them into the land of Canaan. Messiah must come to this land. Joshua and the children of Israel were part of that preparation. And God's will is being accomplished. That's why I say it was a successful mission. Because of Joshua, because of the faithful God you and I serve. Always remember that. Today I will outline this study with the following heads that you see. The outline, the verses are quite long. And that should suggest that I will not be touching all of the verses. But I will be showing the Lord's promises are certain. Or the certainty of the Lord's promises. Second, the Lord's procedures often seem strange. Verses 4 through 13. And 3, I will show the ultimate purpose of God's procedures. The ultimate purpose, verses 14 through 24. Today we will not be doing a comprehensive study of this chapter. It'll take me a month or two to do that. We will only be addressing these three topics by considering some selective verses from each of our headings. So come with me to our first heading, the certainty of the Lord's promises, verses 1 through 3. Verses 1 and 2 says, "And it came to pass, when all the people were clean passed over Jordan, that the Lord spake unto Joshua, saying, Take you 12 men out of the people, out of every man, every tribe, a man." The words, "and it came to pass," denotes certainty of God's promise. It came to pass. And you and I can find comfort in this truth, that what the Lord have promised, He will bring it to pass. The Lord said that He give man 70 and if by reason, He might give them another 10. That too will come to pass. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my word would not pass away. Matthew 24:35. We are encouraged by the psalmist, "Commit thy way unto the Lord. Trust also in Him, and He shall bring it to pass. He shall bring forth thy righteousness as the light, and thy judgment as noonday." Just make sure that your way is God's way. God doesn't bring every way to pass. The words in verse 1 that we have just read, "all the people were clean passed over Jordan," are repetitive in this chapter many, many times. We read it before in chapter 3, verse 17. "And the priests that bear the ark of the covenant of the Lord stood firm on dry ground in the midst of Jordan, and all the Israelites passed over on dry ground until all the people were passed clean over Jordan. Not a toe was wet. Not a drop of water was on them. Clean pass the Jordan." It's a miracle. Chapter 4, verse 1, the words are repeated. "And it came to pass, when all the people were clean passed over Jordan, that the Lord spake unto Joshua." Again in Joshua 4, verse 11, "And it came to pass, when all the people were clean passed over, that the ark of the Lord passed over, the priests in the presence of the people." Why this redundancy? Why this repetition of God's word, of the same event in the narrative? Because it is a reinforcement of a great truth. The Holy Spirit is assuring us that the Lord's promises are certain. Yeah, I believe that. I believe it will happen. I believe that this world will come to a crushing end. I believe it. I believe that men will be judged for their sins on the last day. God's word will come to pass. All the people came over the Jordan. Not one was left behind. Brother, sister, some of the promises of God are positive. Some are negative. Always remember that. "He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life." This is positive. "And he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him." This is negative. Right now, the wrath of God is hovering over the heads of unbelievers, hovering over, just waiting to drop. But His promises are certain. Point number 2, the Lord's procedures may seem strange, very strange, verses 4 through 13. The Lord's procedures in accomplishing His goals often seems seem strange to many of us. Verse 4 and 5 says, "Then Joshua called the 12 men whom he had prepared of the children of Israel, out of every tribe of man." And these are the common men, not the priests. "Joshua said unto them, Pass over before the ark of the Lord your God into the midst of Jordan, and take up every man of you a stone upon his shoulder, according unto the number of the tribes of the children of Israel." Joshua was commanded to take 12 men to retrieve 12 stones from where the priest stood. They were to make a double take and carry them across to the place where they would encamp overnight. That place, brethren, became Gilgal, and we would be talking a lot about that. The 12 stones represented the 12 tribes of Israel. Now you and I know, if you're a student of the Bible, the 12 is a symbolic number. There were 12 tribes in Israel. In actuality, there were 13, but 12 are always numbered as a wrong figure to denote fullness. It's a wrong number. Likewise, there were 12 apostles, but there were actually 13 apostles when Judas lost his office. Paul became a replacement. The number 12 implies fullness, the full amount. There were 12 gates in the spiritual temple in Revelation 21:21. The 12 gates were 12 pearls. Every gate was of one pearl, and the street of the city was pure gold, as it were transparent glass. 12 is also a symbolic of all of God's elect, Revelation 7. So here you read about 144,000 people, like the JW said, only 144 people going to heaven. Madness. It's a figurative number. And Revelation, the book of Revelation, is a figurative book. You can't study Revelation literally. And you should. Any student of the Bible know that. There's not a literal mark of the beast on anyone. Don't go looking around for a mark of the beast. The mark is symbolic. People teach us false doctrine, and we run with it. But 12 is a symbolic number. These 12 stones were to be borne on the shoulders of 12 selected men and carried over to Gilgal, where Israel would encamp. Now, this seemed to be a strange procedure. But God is all wise. He could have provided light by night, but he allowed providence to take its course, that his people may be rested. They were to come over and encamp for the night. Stay there for the night. God is all wise. The scripture says that this was to be a sign to the next generation, what they were doing. Verse 6 and 7, that this may be a sign among you, that when your children ask their fathers in time to come, saying, what mean you by these stones that are stacked up across in Gilgal that came out of the river? You shall answer them that the waters of Jordan were cut off before the ark of the covenant of the Lord when it passed over Jordan. And by the way, the ark, Passover. In other words, Christ, Passover. Christ dried up the river. His presence, his power. Christ gave us victory at the cross. Christ, of all my hopes and ground. You shall answer them, the waters of the Jordan were cut off before the Ark of the Covenant. When it passed over Jordan, you must always remember this phrase, pass over. The waters of Jordan were cut off. And these stones shall be for a memorial unto the children of Israel forever. Not for 100 years, not for 1,000 years, Miguel. Forever. And anything that is forever finds its fulfillment in a person. Today, the procedure or the procedures of the Lord and His command seem strange to many of you. Why do we have to do this? Why do I have to worship on Sunday? Why do I have to do this? This is how God works. His ways are not our ways. Leper Naaman was told, go and wash in the Jordan 7 times, and you will be cleansed of your leprosy. Naaman thought that that procedure was strange. Don't I have rivers in Damascus? Sure, better than these. Why are you sending me to dip in the nasty, dirty, smelly Jordan? Because that's God's procedure. The Holy Spirit whispered in Naaman's ear, if he had tell you to do something hard, you would have done it, right? Go and wash. 7 times, number of perfection. Today, the salvation message is a strange procedure to many of you. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be damned. I'm giving you the gospel. That's the procedure. Some of you up here in this church never committed yourself to Christ. Never followed the Lord in baptism. And yet these words are ringing in your ears. He that believeth not shall be damned. Joshua 4:8 and 9, the children of Israel did what was commanded. And the children of Israel did so as Joshua commanded, and took up the 12 stones out of the midst of the Jordan, as the Lord spake unto Joshua, according to the number of the tribes of the children of Israel, and carry them over. God employed a sign, and they had to obey. God impressed upon their hearts to do it, and they did it. These people were unbelievers, you know. And Joshua set up the 12 stones in the midst of Jordan also, in the place where the feet of the priests which bear the ark of the covenant stood, and they are there unto this day. Apparently there were 2 groupings of 12 stones. There were 12 that were taken out of the Jordan and carried over where Joshua and Israel were encamping. And there were 12 stones Joshua planted in the midst of the Jordan and left them there. I hope you're following me, Brother Nigel, in your Bible. I want you to read it in the Bible yourself. The narrative say, and they are there unto this day. The day when this book was written, of course, I don't expect to find them there now. But this also has a twist. These 12 stones left in the midst of the Jordan is an ominous sign. If the 12 stones that were carried over has significance, certainly the 12 stones that Joshua erected in the Jordan River has significance as well. You see, there are stones fashioned for the master's use, and there are stones fitted for destruction. There are stones in this church, but some are fitted for the master's use, and some are being fitted for judgment. I don't know. But this is what the Bible teach. And each one of us better ponder carefully the word of God as it is explained to us. And the minister is not here to make jokes or to tailor make the scriptures for people, but to proclaim the word of God. God is the master architect. In every house, they're not only vessels of gold and silver, but they're vessels of wood and stubble. If you prepare yourself as a vessel of good, you'll be fit for the master's use. So think about the word of God, brethren. These stones, Joshua is preaching the gospel, Brother Colin, to you and to me. He's preaching the gospel to us. The Lord's procedures may seem strange to us, but there's nothing strange about his commands and his word. All his commands are yea, yea. So we look at the Lord's promises are certain, at how his procedures are strange. Going through the Bible, brethren, is a chore. Is a chore. It leaves you weak. It leaves you fearful. Nevertheless, you have to preach. No wonder Moses says, I exceedingly fear and tremble. And I'm sorry for the man behind the pulpit that is jovial, careless. Last heading, ultimate purpose, God's procedure. All this, what God did, was for a purpose. The final paragraph in Joshua chapter 4, verses 14 through 24, is like a summary of the events of Joshua 3 and 4. It's a summary, the last paragraph, where the Lord magnified Joshua. On that day, the Lord magnified Joshua in the sight of all Israel, and they feared him as they feared Moses all the days of his life. At times when God is using a man, he allowed that man to be part and parcel of miracles, like Moses in the wilderness, how he performed miracles, like Elijah, when Elijah called fire down from heaven, like Christ when Christ came. God used these things as signs to verify his message. And God used his servant Joshua. God doesn't do that today. Don't expect to see a man in a pulpit calling fire from heaven, or don't expect him to put his hand on somebody and give them a whole limb. That is rubbish. That is not happening today. So don't expect these things. But this was Joshua's official ordination in the sight of the people of God. As God's representative, now Joshua now will lead these people for a number of years until he would depart. And you should read his departing words. Tell the people when he was departing, you can't obey God. He's too heavy for you. Minister to these people, I've seen how he behaved over the years. You're not obeying him, but it's for me and my house, Joshua, me and my family. We would serve the Lord. Can you imagine ministering to a people for so long, and at the end of his tenure, tell them, you don't know what they're doing. He's too hard for you. Is it any different today? No. Joshua was a type of Christ. The 12 stones taken from the river were to be assigned to the next generation. God desires his name to be perpetuated. It's the purpose of the procedure. And those verse 20 through 22. And those 12 stones which they took out of Jordan did Joshua pitch in Gilgal. And he spake unto the children of Israel, saying, when your children shall ask their fathers in time to come, saying, what mean these stones? Then ye shall let your children know, saying, Israel came over this Jordan on dry ground. And believing parents should leave emblems of the gospel for their children. I see one of us trying to bring our children along. That's good. That's the responsibility of parents. They should leave emblems for your children to see. Not stones, but visible proofs that the Lord is to be worshipped. Instead of having the world's icons posted on our walls, going there to see people that express this line upon their walls. Not a scripture verse. Ex-presidents. What do I want them on my wall for? What spiritual contribution have they made in my life? Proper emblems that God is to be worshipped. We ought to replace those icons we got with the Lord's promises. A friend of mine gave me those verses long, long ago. He's dead. But for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. When you come into my house, you see that, don't you? Today, the Lord has given us two ordinances to remember His goodness. Baptism and the Lord's table. Do you take them seriously? We can't even put together the Lord's table. We're struggling to put this back in motion. You take these things seriously? It's an ordinance that we should obey. It reminds us of what Christ did for us. But if we are doing it and our lives are different, we turn it into an idol, a sham. Are we serious about the emblems? Do they match the fact that we crossed the Jordan? That when the younger generation asks, what do those things mean? Mom, Dad, why are you doing that? Because the Lord saved my soul. Or do your children see you living the same way? They see nothing. You and I can show them what took place. The Lord conquered death so that I do not have to face His judgment. But brethren, you and I can fall into the same snare as Israel of the past. You read the commentary in Hebrews 3, didn't you? Read it again in Hebrews 4. The 12 stones in the Jordan and the 12 stones at Gilgal for Israel became a foregone memory. Mean nothing. The cross, Calvary, the great drops of blood, the cry from Golgotha, Lord, why have thou forsaken? Forgotten. The ultimate purpose of God bringing Israel over the Jordan is for Christ to be magnified, to be exalted, that His name might be glorified. 23 and 24. For the Lord your God dried up the waters of Jordan from before you until you were passed over. As the Lord your God did to the Red Sea which he dried up before us. Joshua can say before us because he was there until we were gone over. All the people of the earth might know the hand of the Lord that is mighty. The word might is the equivalent to the Greek word dunamis, which is associated with the gospel. That we might fear the Lord, your God, forever. Brethren, don't ever say that the Jews didn't have the gospel. Don't ever say that the gospel is a New Testament thing. Don't ever say that. For the gospel was preached unto us as it was preached unto them. But the word preach did not profit them. This is our survey of the chapter 4. I told you I was going to do a comprehensive study and reading of all these passages. It would take me the whole day. But this is just a brief survey, which we highlighted with three headings. The Lord's promises are certain. What he said will come to pass. His procedures may seem strange to you and me today. They are to be obeyed. They are to be preached regularly from the pulpit. The procedure of salvation and Christian living. The purpose for those procedures is to glorify God. Not me and you, to glorify God. That his name may be made known and that he will be feared in here. Come to conclusion of the message today. As you can see, these messages are not very long. By showing you the spiritual reality. The story of Joshua and the children of Israel crossing the Jordan River is not just an event in history to store away in our heads and to read to our children. Joshua, the battle of Jericho, 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 and the walls come tumbling down. Heard that from a little boy. Didn't mean a lick. It is part of the gospel message that we are to search out and to follow. The student of the Bible must search out the gospel and bring it. And we find in this passage that it is doctrinally sound. And I'll tell you why. Today we have one greater than Joshua. The Bible says in Hebrews 4 verse 2, "For unto us was the gospel preached, as well as unto them. But the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it." They saw the water dried up. They walked across clean. The message of Joshua did not profit those who saw his great work, did not understand its purpose. The stones that Israel were called to remember, as I said, became a foregone conclusion. They probably worshiped them. They didn't understand what the emblems meant. And today many have gone through the ritual of baptism, gone through the ritual of Holy Communion, do not know what these symbols mean. Christ died for his people. I have heard gospel ministers saying, and you have heard this, Jesus' death on the cross made salvation possible for all men. This is far from the truth. Jesus' death did not make salvation possible for all men. Jesus' death secured salvation for his elect. Dismiss that. Far from the truth. Death did not make salvation possible for all men, otherwise they'll be saved. He secured salvation. Isaiah foresaw this of Christ's mission and said, he shall see of the travail of his soul and shall be satisfied. By his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. This doesn't sound to me like Christ made salvation possible for all men at all. It is the opposite. No, the Lord will see the travail of his soul and be satisfied, because all he came to save will be saved. I don't know them. And God didn't afford men that luxury to look at men and point out that they're saved. I wish I did. I would change my tone of preaching. Instead of preaching evangelistically, I would only preach words of comfort. And that's why you have to be faithful in preaching. Three times in the narrative we are told, and it came to pass, when all the people were clean, pass over Jordan. Our Lord did not provide partial redemption for mankind, a halfway house. What kind of message is that? Jesus said, and this is the Father's will, which have sent me, that of all which you have given me, I should lose nothing, but should raise it up again at the last day. This is why all came clean past the Jordan. It's a picture. It's typology of a doctrine that I believe. The spiritual reality of the crossing of the Jordan. Not one was left behind. Our Savior, brethren, provides a perfect and a complete redemption for his people. You take it seriously. I don't like the approach some of you have to this gospel and this church. I don't like it. Lord Joshua's mission was a success. Today the gospel may seem as though it is not getting through, not reaching men. The biblical procedure for one becoming saved may seem strange, even to some of you. Why is he laboring like that? Why is he so agitated? Why the fuss? Why the seriousness? Seems strange today. No fanfare is made. Simplicity of worship. No screaming, no shouting, no drums. No special music. Preaching Christ crucified. Calling people to faith and obedience to his word. This is strange to you. This is what God commands. Men are cold and stubborn. Doesn't seem as though the gospel is getting through. The entertainment, the drums, the mega churches are the success story. But there was laboring day in and day out. Few people, 10, 20. Strange group of people, man. Giving their money. A It's a procedure. Same in the days of Joshua. This wouldn't stop the Lord from building his church. We are to follow the stated procedures. We are to follow them. Sometimes you give procedures in the church and people don't want to follow, they don't want to listen. Ever so often we hear of one who turned from darkness to life. Ever so often we hear of another leaving their sin and clinging to Christ. This is the success of the Lord's mission. Clean past hell. The Bible says not a hair of the head of those three boys was singed with fire. Clean past through the fiery furnace. The men who throw in those men were scorched. But the men who in the fire, not a smell of smoke, clean past hell because of our Joshua. Brethren, we are a savor of life unto life and a savor of death unto death. Who is sufficient for these things? Let's not be discouraged. Those of you who love the Lord Jesus, support his cause. Pray for lost souls in your church. Follow the Lord. He will bring you clean pass over the Jordan. Those of you who love the Lord, because everybody don't love the Lord. Another wonderful truth born out of our general information is that the 12 stones that were taken across ought to serve as a reminder that you and I cannot save yourself. Neither can you assist Jesus in salvation. This ought to humble us. Humble the proud who feel that they are worthy of grace. Stones are inert, dead objects. They were taken from the rubble of the Jordan River. They were carried over on the shoulders. It is Christ who bore us on Calvary. God is rubbing it in this historical book. Remember that. Remember your state of depravity. Remember that. But remember the ominous sign to show God's sovereignty. 12 were left there to perish. God is sovereign. He's not obligated to save one. And I hope that those 12 stones that are buried in the Jordan are not representative of any one of you. Because I would have you to know that if you don't believe on Christ, you will be condemned. You can poke fun at me. You can dislike me. But you can't fault me for not telling you the truth. Bible calls us to remember from whence we were dug. Isaiah 51. Hearken to me, you that follow after righteousness, ye that seek the Lord. Look unto the rock whence you are hewn, and to the hole of the pit whence ye are digged. You hear what Isaiah saying? Look back at the pit from where you were dug. Look unto Abraham, your father, and unto Sarah that bare you, for I call him alone. I bless him. I increase him. This ought to humble the Christian, and this ought to glorify the Savior. Joshua chapter 4, remember that it bring us the gospel. Let us pray.
Amen.
Dear Lord God, your word, we will never apologize for your word. It is to be proclaimed. But, O Lord God, we know that we can proclaim your word, but you, through your Holy Spirit, must impress upon the hearts of those who hear to believe your word. And thus we leave the word of God in the hands of the one who has given us the word of God, and ask, Lord, that you will use your word to prosper in the thing you have sent it for. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.